You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the scripture here. Most of the time, it's chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and one book at a time. We've ended up in Ecclesiastes, and we are about, we are about verse 12. We ended up discussing the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Wow. Also, the same author here wrote the words, and he said that a wise man, in the Proverbs, he said a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And you have the bumper sticker there out today, and everybody's read it. The contemporary wisdom of the day says, I am spending my children's inheritance. That's it. But a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. He leaves nothing for his son, just spends it all. And that's pretty much his commentary on the contemporary wisdom that is expressed by, I'm spending my children's inheritance. And that's the attitude of the nation. And people wonder what's wrong with America, is we're spending our children's inheritance, and not only that, we're placing them into debt as deeply and as quick as we can. You have the national debt. Don't worry, somebody will pay for it tomorrow. I don't have to pay for it in my life, and if my children and my grandchildren have to pay for it, fine, but let me lavish myself and the nation with everything that we want today. You know, we want Obamacare. Let my grandchildren pay for it, right? Yes, and he calls it an evil. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun. And we can call it Obamacare as part of that evil. Social Security is part of that evil. All of these social programs and the new social order that is developing in the earth and will be headed by the false prophet and the Antichrist is part of that evil, part of that sore evil under the sun. So as he came forth, you know, we have the sun, there's nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry way in his hand. Nothing shall he take of his labor. As they say it, you came into this earth with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. He said, this is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Are you laboring for the wind? Is everything you're laboring for only for this life? Only for that which is under the sun? What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Yeah, it's good to enjoy the good labor, the good things that come of it under the sun all the days of your life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, to rejoice in his labor, This is the gift of God, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So it is the gift of the Almighty, our Creator, that we enjoy the fruit of our labor in our life. And that is the gift. That is it. That's the treasure that we get under the sun. But that's the end of it. That's why we need to labor for a treasure that will last forever. Well, let's move on here to chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes. Verse 1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Nothing is withheld. You see in those people, nothing is withheld. They have riches and wealth and honor, and nothing that they desire is withheld from them. They want for nothing. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live yet many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say, that an untimely birth is better than he. And I'm not sure I get the gist of what the preacher is saying here. Excuse me. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So, at least I get this part. There are many lives out there being lived, and many people that live many years, but there's no good fruit. It says his soul is not filled with good, so therefore his soul, is, if it's not filled with good in many years, that it is only filled with evil. The scripture says that evil men wax worse and worse. And, you know, when I consider that verse from I believe, from the epistles of Paul or wherever it came from, I don't remember rightly call exactly where that comes from, but evil men wax worse and worse. And I consider that before the flood of Noah, of Noah's day, that men lived hundreds of years. And the oldest recorded man that we had who lived the longest, and that is of men that are recorded, because there may have been someone who lived longer, but Methuselah is the longest recorded life that we have in the record. And men lived hundreds of years. And the problem with that was that evil men waxed worse and worse. And I believe the Almighty determined, and I see it played out today, and he determined that the life of man should be 70. That is 70 years. And so if you get your 70 and you live beyond that, well, you know, hallelujah. But I also see it. And they also have statistics for whoever and however get these statistics that if someone doesn't turn to the Messiah and give their life to Christ, as they say, between the ages of, that most people do between the ages of 14, and that's the age of accountability. Some say they gave their life to the Messiah before that as a child, and perhaps they did, and perhaps they didn't, I don't know. I can't even relate to that, you know, because it didn't happen to me. But there's an age of accountability that we learn of when you become a man. That's around 13, 14 years old for men and women, boys and girls, I should say. If someone doesn't come to the Messiah and enter his kingdom and submit themselves to the king between the ages of 14 and 24, that it is unlikely that they ever will in their life. And as they proceed from that age and get older, the less likely it becomes that they will turn to the Messiah, because we have the maxim there. And, you know, it's a maxim. It's not an absolute, of course. there's a lot of maxims in the scripture that a lot of people like to mistake as absolutes. And the maxim is that evil men, and that is, and you want to know what an evil man, it's an evil man is one who's not obedient or is not learning obedience, who practices disobedience. So evil men wax worse and worse. And before the flood that was drawn out and that men lived hundreds of years, and the evil just became worse and worse and unbearable, and the earth was filled with violence. So there was a big change that came with the flood, and the years of man and other beasts were diminished so that the lizards couldn't grow to great size, you know, dinosaurs, the terrible lizards, which means great lizards. So the lizards, because lizards, as long as they live, they grow. If you can get Kent Hovind's DVD series, or you can watch it all free on YouTube now, the entire series there, and you can learn about lizards. And that's a very good educational tool. There's only a few points where I disagree. So Kent Hovind is approved by me, whatever that's worth. May not be worth a whole lot, but you watch it, judge for yourself. But you'll find out that lizards, and that's a fact, that lizards, as long as they live, they grow. And before the flood, the atmospheric conditions on the earth were different that allowed men to live hundreds of years and also allowed the lizards to live hundreds of years and keep growing. So we have that atmospheric change, and there's plenty of evidence in the fossil record to prove that out. The dinosaurs didn't get mooned. That's a joke, and you have to watch the Kent Hovind series to understand that inside joke. So, evil men wax worse and worse, but God gives riches, wealth, and honor, and He leaves nothing for His children's children. Getting back here into Ecclesiastes after our little Holy Ghost departure there, and I hope that was was edifying wherever the Holy Spirit leads us. Hope that we're edified thereby. For He cometh in with vanity, departs in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, He hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath seen no good. So the evil men wax worse and worse, even if they live 1,000 years. So we see, and that's, I guess that was the point, is I see the wisdom of the Almighty there in reducing and limiting the years of man upon the earth. So though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet he has seen no good, do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Yes, that's a sad story. If you're just laboring for your mouth and your appetite is not filled, so labor for that. I mean, that's what I see. I get through this whole book of Ecclesiastes, and I see the message here is to labor for a treasure that moth and rust cannot corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal, because otherwise all your labor is vanity. It's only for your own mouth and for the appetite of your own eyes and your own ears, and which can never be filled. You could get fat as a balloon. You could get fat as an elephant by trying to fill your appetite, and you're never going to be satisfied. As a matter of fact, it will just destroy you. All the labor of man being for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Oh, I'm so glad, you know, the Messiah came and gave us hope. I am so glad for his Holy Spirit. Even David had it. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He was comforted by the same Holy Spirit, which we have in greater measure because of what the Messiah did. We have a greater comfort in his Holy Spirit, that his Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us. And as long as we continue in and we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and we don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he'll continue with us as long as we allow him to do that work of conviction, conviction of sin, which bringeth forth repentance, and that work that brings forth obedience to the Almighty, that we might walk in his kingdom and live in his kingdom and endure in his kingdom until the end and be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. There is no salvation before that. Yes, we have a down payment, so to speak. We have an assurance in our obedience. As long as we don't turn back from the plow, we keep our eye on the prize. It's all there in the scripture, circumspectly. A lot of people, they like to interpret a few verses, select verses, strictly. And so I've been learning the difference between a strict interpretation of select verses. And people like to do that so they can deceive themselves thereby. They strictly select a few verses, or they select a few verses to strictly interpret. Like, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they go, well, yeah, I'm calling on his name. Well, you're obeying the letter of the word. You're strictly interpreting a select verse. You're not taking the whole word and judging it all, and you're not interpreting it all circumspectly. The whole word of God, to interpret the whole word of God, rightly dividing by a circumspect view, not a strict select interpretation. Because the same select strict interpretation of a few verses will get you condemned forever on other verses. For instance, you all know the scripture says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now, I say to you, strictly interpret that, and you lose all hope. But circumspectly applied, we know that we have forgiveness through repentance and learning obedience and enduring in his kingdom to the end. Hallelujah! I would rather interpret the scripture, rightly divide it, with a circumspect view than a strict view of a few select verses, because you have to blind yourself to other verses. Let us rightly divide the word of the Almighty. Chapter 7 and verse 1 of Ecclesiastes. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Well, I am glad I was born. But even though I'm glad I was born, and I long to serve the Almighty, as long, because he's put this desire in my heart and in my mind to preserve my life as long as I can. I think that's part of the natural instinct that he gives all men, to preserve our life and to treasure this gift of life he has given us, but to turn it and use it for good, and to serve him as long as we can with all of our might, with everything we have. And that's what I desire to do. If I could live, especially today, you know, with my study of the calendar, and I see that the seventh millennium is about 6 years off, you know, I'd have to live to be nearly 120 to get there to that. I would like to do that. It's unlikely and it's not required. But here I read this, that a good name is better than precious ointment. Hallelujah. You know, I believe I have a good name. There are people out there trying to soil it, but if someone knows me and they know who I am and they've really had dealings with me, they know my name is good. And the day of death better than the day of one's birth. And even though I treasure the gift of life, even though I want to prolong it and live it and serve Him as long as I can, the day of my death will be better than the day of my birth. On the day of my birth, I was dumb. I didn't know anything. I wasn't aware of nothing. I came into this birth crying, wanting. Yeah, what's good about that? Well, it's good to have been born. That's all that's good about it. I was born. And it led me to find the Messiah. And it led me to enter into life. But I get the fullness of the purpose of being born at the day of my death. That's right. But I'll tell you, for those that don't love God, that aren't called according to His purpose, according to Romans 8:28, ooh, the day of their death, I think it's going to be worse than the day of their birth. They think they were wanting then, but they don't remember the wanting. Because we all come into this world wanting. You know, that's why we cry. That's the first thing we do when we're born is cry. There have been a few babies that haven't cried, that have smiled or something like that. But that's it. We come into this world wanting. We want food. We want everything. We can't provide nothing for ourselves. And if we die in Messiah, the day of our death will be better than the day of our birth. And I've seen the peace on the face of dying saints that testifies of that. They finally say, oh, it's okay. I'm ready. Let's go. I'll be back in a few minutes.